Welcome, everyone, to our NBI podcast. My name is Anna Maria Tassani. I am Senior Vice President for National Bank Investments. And I'm really happy to say today we have a wonderful guest, Martin Lefebvre, who is our Chief Investment Officer and comes with a wealth of information that's pretty interesting for many of us. Martin, welcome to our podcast.
Hello, Anna Maria. I'm happy to be here with you guys today.
And you know what? I'm happy to say that spring is gone, summer is around the corner, and now everything is opening up. So we're excited to hear about what could this mean for a lot of us. You know, before we really start kind of sort of going into the future, let's kind of sort of step back a bit, Martin. What would you say were good lessons learned from where we went through the last 12 months, where we are today? And, you know, and what's your take about what we just lived with and as far as where we're going?
Oh, Anna Maria, I don't know where to start to be precise, because so much happened over the past 12 months, as you well know. But one learning I would say was that never fight the Fed or never fight central banks.
What does that mean for the average investor?
Well, we're always trying to be ahead of the curve in terms of our positioning and trying to dictate what central banks should be doing. But the fact of the matter is that they have the control. They've lowered interest rates to zero. They were quick into doing so. They were also supported by governments, because, you know, once you bring interest rates to zero, there's only so much you can do to add to stimulus to the in the pipeline. But they were well supported by governments that took over. And now what we know is that from the market trough in March of last year, then, you know, we're up at a spectacular pace. On a one-year period, I think that the market has rebounded more than 75%. So it's really enormous what's happened over the past couple of years, quarters, even though for many people, it feels like we're still in crisis mode. But a lot has happened. We've created a few vaccines. There was a fast inoculation of the population. And now we're happy to say that Canada is a leader in all of that, and we'll probably be able to reopen on a very broad base. So that's really something to
be proud about, right? Like, you're proud about the fact that. But I think the lesson learned is it's not linear. So when the market is bombarded by insecurities, and most of us didn't know what a pandemic meant, we're accustomed to linear thinking. I think our lesson learned is there's nothing linear about the way the market reacts and the way suppliers can influence the market. So where are we today? Like, where does that leave us today? Like, you know, when we're looking at where we're at and where we're going?
Yeah, well, the markets have, like I said, have rebounded very heftily. And even that trend has continued since the beginning of the year. I guess the only soft spot has been in bonds, because the bond market has reacted to all of this renewed optimism in the economy. I mean, growth, we went from, oh, it's going to be the worst, probably nightmare type of scenario, to, well, it seems that things are doing, you know, not so bad after all, because there was so many cash on the sidelines for so many time, and deployment of all of that is really finding a space to contribute to economic growth. So at the beginning of the year, we were expecting growth to be somewhere around 3%, 3.5% in North America. Now it's going to be north of 6%. So clearly, there's been sort of a V-shaped recovery. And just because of that, it was abnormal to see interest rates remaining at their abysmal levels. So we're back into where, you know, yields were just pre-pandemic, so somewhere around 1.5% and 2%, and we think that they're going to probably stay around that level for the near future. But equities has done very well. You look at U.S. equities, we're up more than 12% since the beginning of the year. Canada is doing tremendously well because cyclical sectors have outperformed. So commodities are up. The energy sector is up as well, small caps. So there's been sort of a shift in the leadership from growth and info tech stocks to more cyclicals and more value stocks since the beginning of the year. But I think that although we believe that there's still a lot of upside potential, there's also some very important risks to monitor going forward, Anna Maria.
So what I'm hearing is, you know, timing that market has never been more a valuable lesson than we've lived in the last 15 months. Timing it would not have done us a service. To your point, it is so volatile. It is so risky. It does move. but it also does recover and grow, and you can't time it. So staying invested is probably one of the key lessons that, despite being told for 50 years to do it, this is a great example of doing it. You mentioned something interesting, Martin, like you were alluding to risks, though. So far you've mentioned growth, 12%, like all these amazing numbers. What are the risks that could hit us and kind of sort of make us stumble?
Yeah, one of the fear in the market participants right now is that this is going to lead us to overeating. We're already seeing a little bits of bits and pieces of inflation materializing. So the main risk is that.
So how do we see it?
We see it in the inflation numbers that are that have picked up a little bit. We know for a fact that some of that pickup in inflation is linked to what we call base effects. You know, recall at the same time 12 months ago, so a year ago, we were in deflation, you know, right in the midst of this of the pandemics. So now we're kind of seeing the flip side of all of that. When it's not your dog, it's my dog that's barking in the background. So that's kind of funny. But inflation has picked up only because of base effects. So that we knew that was coming, but it's been a little bit more than that because also there's some supply and demand imbalances. There's a lot of cash right now trying to find
You mentioned supply and demand imbalances. So for us, what does that mean? For us that are not living this every day, what does that look like?
Well, it means that we got lots of cash. The economy is reopening, and we're willing to go out and spend all of that money. But there's, because of the pandemics, there's been supply disruptions. Like production has been impaired in many ways. Just to give you an example, semiconductors. There's a problem in finding semiconductors, so it had a huge impact in the production of new vehicles in the U.S. So people have kind of they had to go through the secondary market to get used cars, and what we saw is a jump in month over month prices for used vehicles in the U.S. north of 10%. So you never see that usually. So once semiconductors are back on track and the demand slows down a little bit, we'll go back to some form of equilibrium. And that's why markets and central banks kind of believe that this is more of a transitory phase that we're facing right now, not really the beginning of something huge in terms of future inflation, which we need to go through really wages increasing at a constant pace for not only the next couple of months, but, you know, like a more durable phase of augment of increase for wages in the U.S. and around the world.
But would you say the risk is unexpected inflation, or is the risk just that it's a little bit higher inflation that we've been accustomed to in the last, let's say, 3-4 years? Yeah. What's the difference between either or?
Yeah, well, there's a huge difference. So what central banks are telling us is that they're willing to let inflation rise a little bit more than what used to be a goal of 2%. Now, they're willing to say, we want to see inflation on average at 2%, which means that for you know, it might happen that from time to time, inflation will be above 2%. It's difficult to generate inflation. We know that. We saw that in Japan. It was very difficult for them to get out of that crisis. We saw that in Europe as well over the past decade. It's very difficult. Once the goal is to generate inflation, you know, there's so much downward pressure on prices coming from technology, innovation, robotization,
globalization.
And so we live that on a day-to-day basis, and it's really hampering any effort to generate inflation. So the key in all of that, and you're exactly right, it's expectations. So the only way markets or the population will be able to generate some inflation, if it's set in stone in everybody's mind that there's going to be inflation. So I'll give you an example. If you think that the housing market, for example, is a good example of that, because right now, if you think that you're ready to buy a house, but you're willing to wait to see if the price will go down. But if you believe the price will go up, then you'll probably go out purchase that house right away instead of waiting for that same house to be 10% or 20% higher in the next couple of months. So it's sort of it's the exact opposite of deflation. And deflation is when you think you need to buy a fridge, but you can wait a little bit. You know, like there's no emergency, and you know that the price will drop week after week. Then you'll probably wait for that price to be at the bottom before you buy. So we're kind of living the opposite of that phenomenon right now. But for the time being, what we're seeing is that whether it's market based or consumer based, that the expectations are still well anchored that what we're living right now will be transitory in nature.
You know what? It's very interesting. And again, to your point, time is money. I think, you know, what I'm hearing definitely from you since the beginning is time is money. And staying on the sidelines does not do us much good compared to from either consumption or from an investment perspective. So when you look at, so we've had an interesting, let's say 15 months, we've gone through an upheaval, the asset allocations come under pressure from a lot of different areas. Where do we go from here? When you're looking at bonds and when you're looking at equities, what are things that we need to keep top of mind when we're looking at our portfolios and when we're looking at how to communicate this back to clients?
Well, I think that there's been a few lessons learned over the past couple of months. For one thing, I started in the intro telling you that it had been a tough quarter for a bond investor with yields going from a low of 0.5 to 1.75, something like that. So it was a huge capital loss that was incurred during that period. But it's not game over for bonds. What we've learned since that over the past couple of weeks, if not months, is that the bond market is kind of stabilizing right now. So every bad news has been sort of encompassed into where the yield is today. But for as long as inflation is not getting out of hand, probably that bond yields will stabilize around the current level. I mean, the Federal Reserve and most central banks have told us that they were willing to wait and be prudent in their approach to make sure that employment gap, which is still huge. I mean, there's still all close to 8 million jobs that need to be filled before we're back to where we were pre-pandemic. So that's a huge pickup. So central banks will probably leave interest rates at the zero bound for the foreseeable future, if not until probably the end of 2022, if not even later than that. And just because of that, I mean, we need to be prudent in reshuffling our portfolios, you know, hastily or something like that. That being said, we still feel that there's a lot more potential in the equity markets. I know some investors find that they're expensive at somewhere around 20 times forward earnings multiples. But the important thing here is what we call the equity risk premium. So once you take hold of the fact, you're taking into account the fact that interest rates are, you know, are very low right now, historically low, the equity risk premium is still somewhere around 5%. And just because of that, I feel that investors continue to be well compensated for taking the risk of being invested in the stock market. And Anna Maria, you and I know that the stock market will be volatile. It will continue to be volatile. There's going to be pullbacks here and there, if 5%, if not even 10% at some point in time. But if you're invested on the long time horizon, that is, you know, over more than the 1 year ahead of you, chances are that the stock market will continue to give you great returns.
So all I'm hearing is exciting times ahead of us. I think, again, one of the risks is if we make it linear, there's a lot of moving parts. And I think, you know, again, what's really interesting about your role, you're constantly interacting with an enormous amount of companies within Canada, within the US. You're looking at all of these factors and you're looking at always, is the asset allocation arming you to have the best kind of sort of risk return for any portfolio as a whole? You know, and the past is not an indication of the future, but I think lessons learned are something that we tend to forget. We're always busy trying to figure out what the next quarter brings us. What I'm hearing is don't assume linearity. Don't assume that expectations, like don't get ahead of your expectations. Mitigate them, manage them properly. I'm hearing opportunity. There's still, you're seeing beautiful opportunities going forward. But it does come with potential, you know, volatility that will come along the way as new information hits the market. So I think the next couple of quarters are definitely something to stay invested in and look forward to seeing what comes out of it. Thank you, Martin. This has been honestly a very educational kind of sort of segment. And of course, my dog is agreeing with us because she definitely loves hearing your market updates. Who wouldn't? On that note, thank you for taking the time. And I look forward to talking to you in the coming weeks, if not months. Thank you, everyone, for joining on our podcast. Looking forward to hearing from you again in the near future. Keep us posted and let us know what you'd love to hear next. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.